There was the Jewish committees here in America that had raised money to get out who could get out. Yes, they paid the passage on the Dutch, on a Dutch liner. That was a joint distribution committee and the Hayers.
Oh, Hayers is the name of that group.
It's a Jewish organization that had been working since last century already on this kind of activities. And I told you about that miracle, why I got these, how I got these tickets. And then we sent our Hamburg America tickets to Ellie, to Frankfurt, who she could turn them in for a refund. But we came over here by the good fortune that Hayes paid our passage on a Dutch liner. Dutch liner still could go once a week.
And Ellie, so how long did you have contact with Ellie? You sent her that money to send, you sent those tickets over to Ellie?
There was no war going on at that time, not yet. There was a war, but war had not started with Holland. We stayed in Holland, and the border between Holland and Germany was open. So there was mail going between Holland and Germany.
I mean, I remember Hermann and Mary and visiting that family in Rotterdam.
Right. Yes.
But I don't have any. After we left Frankfurt, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Yeah. Any further but you see, the Dutch government did not allow any Jewish immigrants to live with their relatives, John. They were forced to live in that Flüchtlings, in that
refugee camp.
In the refugee camp, right. But we got, there was a guardhouse and we got a slip when we went out and when we came back, we could visit with them, you know? So once
we check in before night.
Yes. And we slept over, it was Stromer.
Bunks.
And we slept, you know.
You know, when you're talking about that miracle, I mean, I remember the business about staying in line and going to Berlin and getting your number and getting the visa number. Is that what you're talking about?
That was something
that was long before Johnny.
That's all too involved to put that up there. If you want to do that, that is a long story.
I've always wanted to hear that story. I've never yet heard it.
Okay fantastic story.
I still don't know.
We never thought that we would be the first ones from those that were still in Germany to go. We had made a plan in our family.
In what year?
1938.
Right.
We had made a plan. At that time, you have to understand, most Jewish people lost their livelihood. Don't say Hitler years. The Hitler years started in 1933. But one of the Nazi laws, the Nuremberg laws, was that the Jewish children had to be taken out of public schools and had to be put together in Jüdische Sammelklassen, yes, combined classes for the Jewish children. And when the city of Magdeburg was confronted with the problem, they had in Magdeburg no school teachers of the Jewish faith left. That some high school teachers were not available yet. So I was employed by the Jewish congregation, and the Jewish congregation and the city made an arrangement that I would enter the city service as a public school teacher for the Jewish children. And they would have two classrooms, for the second classroom, they hired a teacher from Berlin, Mr. Schindler, who was a few years before me, cantor and religious teacher in Oberstein. Anyway, so we were in city employ. And the congregation paid me the difference between my low city salary and what I normally would have received from the Jewish congregation. That, in all the uncertainties, appeared at the time the most certain job that a Jewish man could have. I was practically employed by the Nazi government. So we all planned. Everybody prepares for emigration. When his number comes, he dissolves everything, and for an interim time, until his ship goes, he comes to Rudi to Magdeburg. So we had my mother already living with us. And so it was planned that Rudi will be the last one to go, because I was secure.
You had the job.
I had a job. One afternoon, when Mother and I had gone with you both on a Spaziergang am Kaiser Otto Ring, and we were on the way home, on the corner of the Kaiser Otto Ring, we saw our friend, Mr. Weinzweig, coming out of his little automobile. He came over, greeted each other for a little small talk. "Where are you coming from?" We asked him. He says, "I come just now from Berlin. I went to the American consulate. And although I have no papers available yet, I went and applied for a visa into the United States." I said, I am not ready to go yet. He says, "It is good to have your number on the waiting list. But if you want to go on the waiting list of the American consulate in Berlin, you have to have paid up reservations on a liner to prove that you can emigrate to America at your own expense." So I went home and took my life insurance policy, and went the next day to the insurance company and turned my policy in for the cash value. And after I got my check, went to the Hamburg America line and paid for passage for the four of us. Then I also went to Berlin to the consulate, where every day long lines had formed of Jewish people. When the consulate opened in the morning, there was almost a riot of getting into the consulate. So late in the afternoon I got in and showed my passage that I had that. And the man gave me an application form. And so I went home again, filled in the applications, very complicated document, application for immigration to the United States. I filled it in, went to the post office, made a registered letter to the American consulate in Berlin. The registered letter was the important part, because now I had a receipt that I had applied for immigration to the American consulate. This receipt I kept on my person all the time. Then life went on for several weeks or months until the Kristallnacht, when our home was destroyed with the temple at the same time. It happened that at the same time my brother Zemi was also visiting with us. When the next morning the Gestapo came to arrest me, take me to jail first, didn't tell us why and for what reason. The last thing I did, I took my billfold and took that receipt out and gave it to my brother Sammy to protect it. So the Gestapo men had seen there was another man in the house, and a few hours later they came back to the home and arrested Sammy and brought him also to jail, and we met again in the same bullpen up there. It was big cells. They put about 20 people in. We had to sleep on the floor. Anyway, Sammy and I were in the same jail. Before Sammy left, he gave that postal receipt to my mother. And while I was in the concentration camp, my mother, with my mother and the two children, was in the in our home in the temple, in the ruins of our home. Our brother-in-law Herman came from Holland to look after us, right? Herman came from Frankfurt. My sister Ellie came from Frankfurt.
Herman was in Rotterdam.
Yeah. But I cannot remember if he even came there. I cannot remember that.
That Herman came?
No, I don't remember that he came. He sent a telegram and we stayed
also
in
possible.
Connection.
I don't know what exactly happened. Anyway, Ellie came and took Jan and my mother to Frankfurt, kept her there. And Sammy and I, we were fortunate enough to be released from Buchenwald after 17 days because the Gestapo in Magdeburg had thought up that scheme to get all the Jews, as many out of Magdeburg as possible, if they had a chance, could pledge that they could leave Germany within 3 months and also would liquidate their businesses at once. So after 17 days, we came back home. Sammy and I went to mother at the Hülses.
No, you went
no,
to Frankfurt.
No. Sammy went to Frankfurt.
He went first to the Hülses. When I came out of the concentration camp.
I know, came home. I know.
Sammy was still by. He had no place to go. And we decided to go to Frankfurt.
Yeah,
I had no funds. But Sammy, who was a businessman, he had funds available, it still had some, I don't know how. But anyway, Sammy and I went to Frankfurt to our mother. And my mother had that postal receipt. I went only to Frankfurt to get that postal receipt. Then I came back home, not home, but to mother. And after a day or so, I went to Berlin and stood in line there again at the consulate. And when I finally got in, it was in the afternoon, around 3 o'clock, as I recall, there was a vice consul, maybe he was already very tired for other things, and I said, I have an application here, and I would like to have my waiting list number. He ran to the files, and there was no file for Mr. Rosenberg. At least he couldn't locate it. Then I showed him my postal receipt. Yes, there was proof that there must be something there. And so he took that receipt and started a file with just a sheet of paper with a few notes on it and says, you will hear from us. And I went home.
Got your receipt back?
No, he kept it. Poor brother, I had to trust him, but that's what I do.
No Xerox machines then.
Yes. After about a week or two, we got a letter from the consulate, just an envelope and a very small strip of paper, something like that. And there was only an amerikanisches Generalkonsulat Berlin. Die ihre Nummer an der Warteliste für ihre Familie ist. Da käme Number A, B, C, D. That was my document, a little piece of that. And I folded that neatly and kept it in my billfold, never let go of it. And then we came to Haaland. We are there in this refugee camp. And I went again to the consulate in Rotterdam. Now then, also the family in Rotterdam, the family in New York, the Schubachs, sent us affidavits to Holland from Simon Schubach and Johanna Schubach and Irma Schubach and so on. They had all little $14 jobs and $12 jobs that we got. And we go with that to the consulate, and man looks at them. One says to the other, they haven't got enough to eat for themselves. They said, those are no good. You cannot get a visa on the basis of these. You have to bring an affidavit that will prove that you have a guarantee to exist there in America. Okay, we wrote that to America. We had time. And that is when Martha was a contact in America. And she also had only a little job, and Danny had only a little job. So she went to our cousin, to my mother's cousin, Benno Falk, F-A-L-K, in New York, who was a businessman, but probably not very wealthy man, but very comfortable. And he had already given quite a few affidavits, and